in 597 BC. It goes all the way back to then. And that conquest forced the Israelites to re-examine their calling and their purpose as God's people. And over an eight-year period, 10,000 families were deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. And that made Jeremiah write this letter. He heard from God. He wanted to encourage the people and reassure them that what was happening was all part of God's plan. And first, Jeremiah writes to all of those who have lost hope in verses 4 and 6. They'd lost their freedom. They'd lost their jobs, their homes, their families. They were separated from their relations, their friends. And some of them had perished on the 900-mile walk from Jerusalem to Babylon. Their situation seemed hopeless. And I wondered how we would have dealt with that situation had we been with them at that time. And it makes me think that when things go wrong, it's easy to think that our hopes have failed and that God is finished with us. But Jeremiah says that the first step from tragedy to triumph is to accept that situation and then turn to God and his loving hands. Secondly, Jeremiah writes to those who have false hope, who had heard that it's okay, in 2 years we're going to be back home. And Jeremiah said that's not real, that's not from God. Jeremiah said it's best if you submit yourselves to the Lord and do all you can to help the city prosper and find peace. Because false hope means that we will miss what God has got planned for us. Thirdly, Jeremiah writes about true hope in verses 10 to 14. And in verse 11, God promises this. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And here we see that God is concerned for their well-being. And it shows God's heart for them and for us today. And there's a second promise in verse 13. You'll seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart. Tells us here that God wants to be found. God is near and he wants us to find him. And God is saying that if we do that, we'll find these promises are true. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. If you seek me, you will find me. And we know that God keeps his promises. God promised them a future, and God keeps his promises. If you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart. And here is an invitation from God in verse 12. This invitation, he says, call on me. And in verse 14, he says, I'll be found by you. Call on me, and you'll hear me. And this call goes beyond the people then in Babylon. It goes all the way to the people throughout time, to the people today. God's call is as fresh today as his promise is endless. But some will say that Jeremiah 29:11 is about God having a purpose for all of us today, for all people, because each person is unique and has been uniquely created by God. Every person has gifts and talents and a purpose. Others will say that God has a purpose for all creation and humanity as a whole. And still others will say, God has a plan, but he gives us a choice. We have freedom to make a choice. But since God's plans aren't always clear, we need to trust in his goodness and in his wisdom. But what I will say about Jeremiah 29, verse 11, what is certain is God's plan is good. And we discover our true purpose when we respond to God's call. Let's pray. Father God, help us to trust you, to call on you, to hear you, to seek you, to find you. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints say, Amen. We're coming to the time of the baptisms. You guys ready? Born ready. And I want to do a quick explanation of what this is all about, okay? So today, John and Harry, you're getting baptized, guys. It's going to be amazing. Woo! They've heard God's call. They've been seeking him, and they found him. And in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands his followers to be baptized, and his followers hear him and go and do. And Jesus leaves a promise there. He says, Jesus promises to always be with you, always. And Jesus promised that everyone who has faith in him, he's with you always. That's his promise. And Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21 that baptism isn't just a cleansing of our body. It's a spiritual act connected with Jesus' resurrection. And Peter should know, because when he was with Jesus in the upper room, he said, Lord, clean all of me. And Jesus said, no, I just need to do your feet. It's not just a cleansing. It is a joining. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Jesus literally died and then physically rose again. And that new life is through the power of God who gives life. Baptism is a symbol that as Jesus died and rose again, so Jono and Harry will go into the water and be buried in baptism with Jesus and be raised into new life with Jesus. For no one is born a Christian. We're not Christian by birth. It's a personal and individual choice that Harry and John have made. They've made that commitment to follow Jesus. And we call that believer's baptism. And when believers say that, I believe in you, Jesus, I believe in your death and resurrection, I believe that you've made it possible for me, for God to be my Father, for me to enter into his heart and be loved personally by him, and to grow together to be the person that God always knew that we could be. When we accept Jesus in a new birth or a spiritual rebirth, the old things pass away. And the new things come. God brings forgiveness. He brings peace. He brings new life, new hope, new attitudes, new feelings, and a new purpose. And Jono and Harry can testify to this reality. And I just want to make a couple of points that are important. Christians are not perfect. We're just forgiven. Don't put a burden on Harry and Jono to be perfect. Salvation doesn't mean perfection. There will be times when we fall down and we make mistakes. But that's why there's forgiveness, right? Yeah, I love that. God doesn't love Harry and Jono any more than he loves you and me. Harry and Jono have not put themselves right with God before they come to the pool of baptism. No. God accepts them as they are now. God accepts us as we are. God actually wants us at our worst because he promises to help us to be our best. Amen. So that's the explanation. I just want to pray for these guys now, and this is a special moment. And afterwards, if anybody wants to join in this, please feel free to do so. Loving God, your spirit hovered over the waters at creation and brought your people through the Red Sea when you parted it, Lord. Pour out your spirit on those who meet you in these waters, Lord, we pray. That this baptism would be a union between Jesus and Jono and Harry, a meeting and a union in Jesus' death and resurrection, that they might die to all the things that are death and be born anew to a living hope with you, Lord. Pour out your spirit on John and Harry and anoint them for service, Lord. May they grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I ask this, Jesus,